I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 84, brought to you by the Dub Network, which we are a part of now, and Owen White, Bar Fight White, according to Tepid. That's what Tepid calls him. Barfight White is going to join us later from out in Frisco. First, we're going to talk about the big league team. It's been a great week. We did start off with the Dub Network last week. And we made it official. Mm-hmm. Thanks to those guys. We got some interesting teammates now. Nate Newton. We got Emily and Julie. We got
Kevin Minch.
Kevin Minch.
Yeah,
Minch is somebody this offseason we ought to get on.
Maybe.
You can't talk to Minch during the season. We got too much
going on. I don't know if his head will fit in the screen, but we can try.
We can try to get his head in the screen. But Minchie will be fun. He was, you know, I think he's before you, wasn't he? Did you ever?
My first spring, he failed to make the team out of spring training. So
that was.
I don't remember what happened to him after that. He was trying to play first base, add a little versatility, and he just ended up not making the team.
Okay.
So anyway,
well let's talk about this Ranger team.
Okay.
31-18. This is Friday morning, guys. By the way, 31-18, 7-3. They are 1-2 in a row. They've won the last two
from
the Pirates. They head into a great series tonight against the Orioles. These are two good teams they're playing.
It's pretty interesting.
There is one glaring need on this team. This offense has been incredible. I mean, they just can score on just about anybody. Even if they go scoreless the first three or four innings, they tend to, second time around or third time around, they start putting together good at-bats.
Yeah. Baseball games are long. I know they're shorter, but they're still 9 innings. They're still 27 outs.
Right.
You still go through the lineup multiple times, and you get a chance to see the pitcher two or three times. And that's one of the big deals that analytics has brought to the forefront is success a pitcher has the second, third, and fourth times through a lineup. And, I mean, it's been that way for 100 years. It's not like this is new. It's just something that's come out. But, yeah. If don't sweat it if it's 0-0 after three, and,
right?
And
your team even 1-2 to nothing, and you're behind.
I mean, these are long games, and you saw Wednesday in the finale at Pittsburgh. Those teams scored the Rangers scored three in the second, and the Pirates scored two in the third, and that was it.
That was it.
You know, I mean, you never know when you're going to get your runs, when a pitcher's going to figure something out, when the lineup's going to figure something out. But this Rangers lineup, more often than not, is going to score four, five, six, 10 runs. You know, they've reached double digits like 12 times this year.
Number one in run differential in the league now. They passed Tampa Bay.
Well, Tampa Bay lost a game 20-1. So that kind of hurts.
That helped.
You know, this offense has been really, really good. And you know, you started to see it at the end of last year. The offense was good last year, and it was the first year of Tim Hyers and Donnie Ecker, the two hitting coaches. Donnie's the offensive coordinator, if you will. And
right.
They brought some new stuff.
Right.
And stuff that they won't talk to us about. But it takes a little while, and you're starting to see that they've made the progress. Where they needed to make the progress last year was against like the elite teams and the elite pitchers, and they've done it. They've been better this year. You know, Garrett Cole kind of got to him, but he's getting to everybody. You know,
right?
They've figured out ways to win games against good teams, and that's important. And you know, it may just be two runs like that game in Seattle when they, you know, Logan Gilbert had a no hitter.
Yeah.
Shoot, it might have been a perfect game. I don't remember through six, and then the Rangers scored two of the seventh. He's gone, and they ended up winning the ball game. So it's just a better lineup, and it's deeper. Josh Jung has been very, very good. Leody Taveras hitting over 300. Jonah Heim, he's in a little slump right now, but he's been better. So it's just players that needed to improve did, and if you've looked at what Mitch Garver did to start his rehab assignment, he was 4-for-8 with a home run, and he's going to come back.
Couple doubles.
Yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't worry about the lineup.
No, I'm not worried about that. Starting pitching, where's Jacob DeGrom? You talked to him. I haven't.
He threw Monday in Pittsburgh. He's going to do something today in Baltimore. He's going to start throwing some curveballs. He's progressing. The debate's going to be whether to send him on a rehab assignment or not. And he doesn't want to go, and I don't really blame him. I mean, I don't think any established major leaguer wants to go on a rehab assignment. It comes down to if, you know, Jacob DeGrom is going to be very good. No matter how much he pitches, he's going to be very good. If it's only three innings, they're going to be three great innings.
Right.
Would you rather use those bullets in a big league game, or would you rather send him to Frisco?
You could piggyback with Dunning on his start day.
And watch him destroy, you know, Northwest Arkansas.
Or Amarillo or something.
You know, he doesn't need that. You know, but they've been so cautious with him. You know, maybe they send him for one.
Yeah.
And maybe get him to where he can pitch four, and it's a little less taxing on the bullpen because, you know, asking this bullpen to get 18 outs, so let's say 18 as an example, if DeGrom's first start's only three.
Right.
That's been a tall order, even if Dunning is available. So, you know, it's something that Chris Young gets paid good dollars to make those decisions. I'm sure Jacob will have a little input. Mike Maddux will have some input. I'm sure the manager will have some input. But he keeps feeling fine after these bullpen sessions. So, that's a good indication that he might be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and which is great. And Dunning, wow, he's filled in tremendously.
Yeah, yeah, good for him. You know, you look at last year, really, in 21, his first year with the team, you know, he was really bad on the road. He was pretty inconsistent last year throughout. I mean, if his hip was bothering him, you know, and he had the surgery, man, what a difference, you know, and. You know, there's a little seasoning that comes with that, and I'm sure that he doesn't like the idea of pitching in the minor leagues, which was a possibility, to start the year at the start of spring training. You know, he had to win a job somehow.
Yeah,
and he ended up winning a bullpen spot, and it's turned out really, really well for him.
Gosh.
I mean, you know when you talk about
he could have done that two ways. He could have really spit the bit out of the bullpen, or he could have grabbed a hold of it and done what he's done, which has secured a spot on this team no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, when DeGrom comes back, Dunning's going nowhere. I mean,
this
is a valuable arm that is getting outs.
Yeah, and as I mentioned last week, you know, one, he might be a solution to the bullpen problems where once a series, if it's 3-2 in the seventh, he pitches the seventh and the eighth.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not unfathomable to think that that's one solution. He is, however, his wife, I guess he is too, expecting a baby.
That first week of June.
Yeah, it's very soon.
I talked to him about that last time. I said, when is this thing, when is this baby coming? And he said, first week of June. June 10th, I think, is the date. He told me is the due date.
Okay, so he'll be gone for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But anyway, and you know, you listen to and Jack Nicklaus very, very famously said that he became a better golfer when he started having a family. It changes you. It makes you focus. It does all these things.
Exactly.
And when Tiger Woods started having kids, Jack Nicklaus was like, it's going to make Tiger better. I don't know that it did. I think, you know, Tiger has a lot of issues. But anyway, you know, when you have a kid, you have to be more responsible. You have to keep a schedule. You're not just in it for you and your wife anymore.
Exactly.
You
have responsibilities.
And it changes you. So, yeah. I mean, things are on the way up for Dane Dunning, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And having you and I are parents, there's nothing better. I mean, my gosh, just the pure joy of that, of having a child. And I'm excited for him and his wife.
You got a big deal tonight.
I do, by the way. My son is graduating high school. This is a big deal. And I saw where Henry and Molly finished school, and Henry graduated in fifth grade.
He's going to be a fourth grade graduation.
Did they go to a different school for fifth grade?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Molly is not happy with that.
Because they usually go together to school.
Yeah, she was pretty upset about that last night. The reality sunk in, but it's really going to sink in August. But yeah. Yeah, so Richland?
No, he is. So Richardson High School.
Richardson, that god dang it.
Yeah, we live in Richardson, and he went to Richardson has four high schools. Jamie Newberg's son will be graduating tomorrow from Richardson Pierce. Mine's graduating from Richardson tonight. Grandma and grandpa are in town. I got a house full of people going there. The air conditioner's not working, so that guy's going out there this afternoon to take care of that. It's emotional for my wife. This is our oldest son, and it's our oldest child. My daughter was not my wife's child, but I mean, they're like mother and daughter. They've been around forever. But and he's going off to Missouri State, which that's going to be the tougher one.
That's going to be a rough one.
So you guys all got that coming. And, you know, that'll be
8 years to prepare.
Yeah, get ready, get Jen ready to do that. You'll have some emotion, too, I'm telling you. Okay, we got to get back to the Rangers.
Yeah.
Congrats, buddy. We're really proud of you for graduating tonight and, you know, a little emotional.
And you got a driver now.
And my youngest one's now driving. I don't have to drive anyone to school anymore at all.
Perfect.
That's going to happen to you one day, too. And that's in the freedom that you like.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That's a freedom that you really enjoy.
Yeah.
The biggest glaring need on this team, we've talked about the rotation. We've talked about the lineup, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
There's bullpen issues.
Yeah, again.
Again.
Yeah. Nothing changed from last week.
There have been eight games in that they were ahead in the eighth inning. There have been six, I believe, that they lost where they were winning after the eighth inning. I saw that stat, I believe, yesterday. So that could have been easily six more wins this team could have right now.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
That's not good at all.
Yeah.
Now, around the league, there have been some blown saves. Other places, too. A lot of people are going to be looking for arms. But first, if that's the case, you've got to look internally first. Obviously, they've got to make a move for someone who's a legit closer. I love Will Smith. Man, he has put this team on his back for what he's done so far.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, he throws right around 90 miles an hour. That slider is what makes him good.
Yeah.
You can't expect that to be there. I mean, I hope so. Maybe it is. I don't know, but they need more back end arms.
Yeah. You're right.
Leverage arms. Let's put it that way.
They do. And Dave Raymond brought this up over the weekend. It's pretty interesting. Very interesting point. He asked if the epidemic of blown saves across baseball might be due to the pitch clock, and there's something to that. And Bruce Bochy agreed with it. You know, these power arms, they've got 20 pitches in them. Let's say 20 to 25, and a 98 mile per hour fastball is a power move. You know, pitchers don't run like they used to. Like when they run, they used to run the mile and run all this distance and all this stuff. And some of them still do it because they like it, but they run sprints.
Yeah.
They don't. That's what pitchers do. They run sprints because it's a power movement. And so they don't have as much time between any between pitches to catch their breath,
right,
or to process what's going on around them. And everybody's like, "Oh, it's going to be a big deal for starting pitchers." It's a big deal for relief pitchers,
right?
And that's an interesting theory. I don't know if there's anything to quantify it or qualify it or whichever phi it is, but I thought that was a pretty intriguing point. But some guys aren't struggling with it, and I think at the 6 week mark or the 2 month mark, you need to get used to it. And it's like Jose Clark has always been a deliberate worker.
Yep.
I don't know if that's his issue, but whatever it is, it needs to be remedied. And we were just talking before we started recording this thing about the names that are out there. And there are some decent ones. There are some guys that
let's start internally.
Okay, internally.
Internally, right. you've got Grant Anderson at AAA, Chase Lee, and Taylor Hearn are the three right now who have done well enough maybe to get a look. Now, they're not going to be your back-end guys.
Right.
But we're talking about somebody that can just get some outs.
Sure.
Right now, and those three, like Hearn has been relatively well. Now, he's still got – his problem is control.
Yeah.
Getting the ball over the plate. You can't walk anybody doing that. Now, Anderson was intriguing. Grant Anderson had a couple of outings there where he struck out the side two times in a row.
Yeah.
Two games in a row. Yeah. Throws that slider, which is really good. Doesn't throw an overpowering fastball,
but
tends to put it where he wants. And Chase Lee, of course, a sidearmer, can just come up and screw things up for a lot of people.
Well, Anderson's kind of a sidearmer, too. Not as low as Lee.
Right.
Anderson wipes out right-handed hitters. That's kind of his forte. So, there's a specialty. There's not the specialty guy anymore. You're going to have to face three, and there's going to be a lefty in there probably. But they might be able to use him at some point, But again, this is a guy who's never been in the major leagues.
Right.
So you're not going to say, "Hey, man, go, go. Well, it's 3-2. Go get those three outs in the eighth for us." But again, I wrote it last week in Friday in the Farm, and we talked about it a little bit on the Aaron Zavala episode. I think all options should be open. And one we didn't mention, and a terrible oversight on our part, was Mark Church, who just got promoted to Triple A.
That guy's got an arm.
He was in big league camp. He really was impressive. He impressed a lot of those guys. Big league camp. He wasn't in that first round of guys that goes down to camp. He stayed there late into camp. So that's
friend of the up. Friend that's of right. Too. That's He's right. Been on.
And so. Anyway, why do you move him to AAA? To give him a test and really say, "Hey, this guy might be an option for us." So
absolutely, that's exactly why he's in AAA.
So those are four guys. I still think Owen White and Jack Leiter's name should be in the conversation because
I got ripped apart for that. Now, I brought this up the other day on Twitter, and boy, Jared Sandler got on me about it. But I was like, "You guys act like I'm talking about right now." No, of course not right now. Yeah. Jack Leiter especially needs to go out and prove himself for a little bit longer to do that. But what you were talking about is kind of the way they did Derek Holland and coming up late in the year and get your feet wet in the big leagues later in the year. And that's a good arm that throws 98, 99 miles an hour to do something.
Yeah.
Owen White too, who's, Scott Lucas brought up that Owen White's velocity has been down just a little bit, although he goes out and battles and fights you and has done well. Yeah. He's not throwing in the upper 90s, which,
that's fine.
He attacks hitters.
Yeah,
that's the thing about Owen. Owen goes after you.
We'll ask him about it, but he was delayed a little bit in spring training.
Right.
He was on a little bit more regimented program than to start the year, so he might be building into his velocity.
Right.
They aren't options right this second.
Right.
But they are options potentially because. If you just, what you said, get a taste of the major leagues, all this stuff, and if they can get you six outs, they can get you the sixth and the seventh.
Right now, you need somebody to get you six outs.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So, anyway.
But he has not done enough. As good as Jack's been, it's been for a little short period here.
Right.
He's got to get rolling. But Owen White's further along than that, I think.
Owen's still short on innings, but
If they promote him to AAA, that might be something to watch.
Yeah.
That would be something.
He is on the 40-man, too.
Well, let me ask you about this, though. While we're talking internally, though, those were obviously options. Mark Church was a name that we didn't bring up that we didn't need to bring up. Funkhauser and Duffy. I've seen Danny around. Yeah. You know, you see Danny around the clubhouse, but where is he at? He's supposed to be.
Yeah, Funkhauser was in town this last homestand for a couple days. They're getting close. You know, they're probably going to be pitching in games in a couple weeks.
I know that they're both listed on AAA roster right now.
Well, yeah, you got to throw them somewhere. But, yeah. You know, because they were on minor league deals. So.
But those guys right there have history. So
they do. And, yeah, I mean, they're potential options. And, you know, like the idea of Danny Duffy in a shorter stint, you know, he's always been, for much of his career, he's been a starter.
Right.
And I think even in spring training, he was set on the idea of being a reliever, and he was happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, and because he knows he can go in and let it eat, so to speak, and his stuff will tick up, and he can get some outs and help the team. And it sounds like he's just an ultimate competitor, you know. And like if you look at his mugshot or his headshot on,
we're not talking mugshots here. We're talking headshots.
One of the websites.
Yeah.
It looks like he's just pissed and not happy. And he's like the nicest guy.
He's always smiling and grinning.
He is the nicest guy. It's pretty funny. And so, anyway, yeah, they're options too. And, you know, and you go back to these past six Rangers teams that have had success in the past, they've always found a solution for the bullpen.
Yeah.
It's a long season.
Yes, and we're in May.
We're 50 games in.
Yeah,
and
but they do have a.
But
problem.
They do have issues okay. that have to be addressed.
So if we're going to go external, though,
yeah,
who are some names? I mean, you got people like Joe Kelly. You got Aroldis Chapman that we've talked about. The reason I'm not a big fan of him, look, he throws 104. Don't get me wrong. The guy can come back and close games. I mean, he throws hard and he's good. This clubhouse is. A group of guys that really dig each other. I mean, they are all good people in that clubhouse. They're a cohesive group. And my understanding is his reputation is kind of hard to deal with sometimes.
Well,
that's what I've heard.
I mean, the Yankees stuff was kind of ugly at the end of last year.
Right.
One possible solution to that, Chapman is Cuban.
Right.
So is Adolis Garcia.
Adolis, yeah.
And Adolis is like the most positive guy. He looks like he's kind of the guy who's can get the team going.
It's Kathy's favorite player because
maybe he can have influence on Chapman. But you know if it seems like if Chapman is wanted, then he's happy. And again, he's a free agent after this year. It's a rental. It wouldn't be as expensive. I mean, he is making a decent salary, but it's not gonna. You know,
Ray Davis sees that there's a playoff potential. He will eat the salary.
But you're not gonna have to unload a ton of prospects to get him. That's the good thing about a rental.
Yeah, unless there are five other teams in the bidding.
Yeah, but still, it's still not gonna be.
Well, the Rangers have more, and they could dig deeper down into their their stash of prospects where it may not be those names at the top. Of anything, but still great prospects. They just might be lower down the deal. So obviously, Chapman's one. You've also got when you're talking about the Royals, you got Josh Stammut and you got Stammut, I believe, who's had a great year. Scott Barlow is someone that's closed before, and who's also both these guys. The reason I was looking at teams that were losing and who might be moving. I was looking at their bullpen. Both of these guys have saved a couple of games, and both of them they've got hitters hitting under 200, and their ERAs are under 2, or they were when I looked at them.
And the Royals are pretty crappy, so that's and if
at the time,
if
and
we're
going to
be
changed.
Talking specifically about the Royals. You know, Dayton Moore was there, who's now an assistant to Chris Young, was their president of baseball operations until late last year. So
he knows the arms that are there.
He knows what they have. But
Brad Hand, Diaz, you got Diaz from the Reds, you got Brad Hand.
Now the Diaz situation would be a pricier one.
Because he's under control.
He's got a lot of control, and he looks pretty good. But, you know, if you don't think your team has a closer and you think this guy could be one, then maybe you solve a problem for several years
Yes.
that way.
And if you have a true closer, look at Will Smith moving into a seventh or eighth inning role.
Sure.
And then that's maybe that's only one inning you're worried about every day, something in the seventh.
Yeah.
And between the guys you have there, you can throw someone out there to get you three outs.
Yeah.
If that's the case. I think they need two arms, and you'd like to see Will Smith.
They probably need three arms.
Yeah, kidding. Yeah. There are some guys on that roster right now that are, and it's not beyond the possibility that both Hernandez and LeClerc get their head straight, this figured out, because when they are on, back into the bullpen crap.
Yeah, sure.
They just do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a matter of confidence, getting in that leverage situation. I think one good outing could go a long way for one of them. Just go out there and go, wow, I just strike out a couple of them and get a pop-up and go, wow, okay, everything was hitting. Sometimes that's all it takes. But right now, let's be honest, they're fragile right now. They're kind of teetering. They don't want to – you know what it is? When you're this good a team, they don't want to be the reason that you're losing. So that plays on anyone's head.
Sure.
It's like you and me looking over a putt that's worth $100 and it's only 3 feet. Believe me, if you're going to lose $100 for you and me, that putt looks like it's about 50 feet.
From, yeah.
You know, that's the way that stuff works. Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so. Because
we got a Frisco Rider guest coming on.
We do. But before we get to him, we failed to mention that subscription to Rangers Today.
Absolutely.
Will run you only $5.99 a month, $35 for 6 months, or $60 for a year. If you do $60 for a year, it's like 17 cents a day.
Yeah.
And you can find that in your couch cushion. So,
top to bottom, this is the best top to bottom coverage there is of anybody in the Metroplex, period.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's all in one spot.
Yeah.
It's all in one spot, top to bottom, minor league, all the way up to front office people. This is the best coverage because it's solely based on Texas Rangers. That's what it is. This isn't a so-and-so sports site, and this is our Ranger division. This is Rangers Today.
Right.
We cover the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, and the minor leagues. And
right. By the way, we're going to talk about that in the bus leagues. We got some new ownerships of minor league teams.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll get into that. Guys, joining us right after this is going to be Owen White. And big thanks to Tepid, who calls him Barfight White, but he brought Jeff and I up in their last episode, brought up our little video of Jack Leiter said, man, you guys got to go watch this video. And he loved what Jack said to us about getting out there and doing that. So big, big, big kudos to Tep for doing that. But Barfight White right after this on your Frisco Rough Riders hotline.
The Rangers Today Baseball Podcast guest segment is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders and will be brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders all season. They return home on next Tuesday, which is the day after Memorial Day, which is the 30th of May, playing those mighty San Antonio Missions. Look, next weekend, though, is a really, really big deal. They have a great promotion for you. It's called the Family 4-Pack. All right, here's what you get for $80. $80 gets you 4 home plate tickets, 4 hot dogs, and 4 sodas. I might get that for myself. It's a really good deal. Go out there. That's valid for June 2nd, June 3rd, and June 4th. As always, Thirsty Thursday, that'll take place on June 1. In addition to the great deal for the 2nd, you also get post-game fireworks. On the 3rd, it's kids run the bases. And on the 4th, again, post-game fireworks. And it's always on Sunday, Kids Sunday Fun Day. So go on out, see your Frisco Rough Riders. Go to MILB.com/Frisco to get more information.
All right, guys, and joining us right now from the Frisco Rough Rider Hotline, brought to you by Frisco Rough Riders, is current Frisco Rough Rider right-handed pitcher Owen White, known by some to Barfight White, as some of them call. But hey, Owen, what's going on, buddy?
How are you?
How is Arkansas?
It's good. It ain't too hot. We've had some tough games, but I mean, we got a chance to fight back tomorrow and today. So right now it's going all right.
How's that mustache going, brother?
It's annoying me. I'm ready to shave it off. Ready to shave it off.
Is this another deal where you guys are just growing mustaches as a bonding thing or what?
Yeah, I think it was a bullpen idea. Mustache May or something like that. So we decided to jump on the train, but I don't know how much longer I'm going to ride it.
Only a few more days.
I know.
You know, is that, I'm not looking at my camera. I'm looking at you on the Zoom. Is that about as good as you can do? Cause I can't grow a mustache.
No, that's about as good as it's going to get.
All right. So you started the game last night. How do you feel the day after a start?
I'm pretty sore, but I mean, confidence wise, I feel pretty good. I mean, I don't think they beat me. I think I beat myself. Yeah. I mean, I felt like I threw some pitches when I needed to. And then I obviously didn't execute one or a couple that got hit pretty hard. And I mean, when you have five walks, it doesn't really help you. I mean, there's always base runners on in every inning. So, never could get anything rolling on my end. So, just got to be better.
Jack Leiter walked seven on Tuesday. You walked five, kind of uncharacteristic. Is there something going on with the mound there in Little Rock, or were you guys just one of those nights?
You know, I felt like both of us landed some pitches that didn't really get called on the corners, but I mean, it ain't nobody's fault to blame nobody. You just got to throw it over the heart of the plate, I guess. Yeah, I mean, going to Arkansas and throwing on that mound, the backdrops looks like you're throwing 90 feet. So it's a little bit different.
That's interesting.
That is strange.
That is
interesting. What do you mean by back? So what you're seeing behind the catcher, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it just opens up. There's no real wall back there, and it's probably, I don't know, 40 feet behind the catcher.
Wow.
It's something you never think about, is somebody pitching and what the backdrop is when you line up. And that is strange. I guess without a wall back behind there or something like that, and just maybe fans kind of blending in, maybe it looks like you are.
I've always wondered, and Owen, you used to play basketball. So like when you play in your own gym, let's say you're a college team, you play in your own gym, you get used to it. And then you go to like the NCAA regional and you're playing in a damn dome. I mean, I would just think that that's hard to get used to. And I guess it would apply here too, but that's pretty interesting. Okay. So you said you're sore. So what body parts are sore? I'm going to guess your arm, but you use a lot of leg. I'm going to guess there's just general body soreness.
Yeah. I mean, for me right now, I mean, it's the best kind of soreness. It's not my elbow. So that's always good for me.
That is good.
Right now it's spread out. I got a little bit of forearm, a little bit of bicep, a little bit of tricep, a little bit of lat. So, I mean, it's spread out evenly. It's not just pinpointed in one spot, which tells me I'm using the whole arm, and definitely the hips and legs are sore. Last night was the hardest I've been throwing. So still trying to get everything to click and get that velo back up to where I need it to be. But last night was a lot more fives than normal, a lot more fours. I don't think I really got down and too far in the velo. I think I stayed in a pretty good hot zone for me.
Yeah, that's something we talked about, or has been talked about. You were kind of you didn't have a full spring. Are you still building up, or are you just trying to put your mechanics together?
I think a little bit of both. Building up wise, I think I'm good. I think arm-wise, I'm good. I think it's more of just everything clicking, timing-wise, and getting down the mound and just getting the ball to the plate. But confidence is still high, so, I mean, I can't complain.
Yeah. I mean, if you're only throwing fastballs, there might be a problem, but you throw a bunch of other pitches. Where are you on the comfort level with your off-speed pitches?
Curveball, I'm very confident with. I think I can throw it at any point at any time. Slider feels really good right now. The only thing that I'm really struggling with to handle is my changeup, and that's just me letting the grip go too early. I'm not really sticking on driving through the ball. I'm letting it kind of fly out a little early. So I'll throw some good ones and I'll throw some bad ones. It's just not a consistent mix.
What? How do you grip? You don't have a ball, but is it a circle change? What do you do for your changeup?
Yeah, just like my one seam on the right lace, I'll just turn it into basically a changeup grip on that one seam and throw it.
Okay. All right.
What's the difference in velo? How far down are you from your fastball?
Anywhere from 6 to 9 miles an hour difference. So 86 to 90 sometimes. I think I threw one last night at 90.
Okay.
Still.
I mean, it's about, as you probably heard Mike Maddox and Greg Maddox say in spring training, it's about throwing strikes and changing speeds.
Exactly.
Yep. And you know, these guys, I've said this before. One thing that gets overlooked about Mike Maddox is he pitched a long damn time in the major leagues.
Yeah, 15 years or something.
He pitched for a bunch of teams. He's always a guy who was wanted. He knew how to pitch. And then his brother, of course, really knew how to pitch. But what was it like to go to A, go to big league camp, and then B, be like, hey, this is Greg Maddox?
No, I mean, it was a blessing. The person that stood out to me the most and made me feel like everybody was needed was Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, he came around every day, talked to me, really emphasized when I was going through the little hard time of the nerve issue and stuff that no matter when I come back, I'm always going to be that spark kind of deal. It's just another life for a team that's been playing hard. And then if I say I did miss a couple weeks, he's telling me that once I get back that I need to create that life again and bring that buzz around. So, I mean, sitting down with him every day and just talking baseball and I really never really got to talk to Greg Maddox too much, but they're just characters. I mean, they're funny. They're good guys to be around. And I mean, obviously you can learn a lot.
Yeah. One thing I've learned about those two over the years is, yeah, they can be a little raunchy. they're very good golfers.
Oh boy.
And yeah. They love college basketball. And occasionally I think one of them who's no longer employed by a major league team gets a little action on college basketball. I mean, you know, he lives in Las Vegas and his dad worked at a casino for a number of years. So it comes by it naturally, but I got a text. This is a pretty good story. I got a text. TCU, where I went and am employed, was playing the University of Texas at home. And the line was 3.5, I think. And they asked if I thought TCU could cover the 3.5. And I said, no. All right. So TCU's leading throughout the second half. But as often happens, Texas comes back a little bit. All right. Yeah. It's a 6-point game with 3 seconds to go. Bam. Texas guy hits a 3-pointer, gets it to 3. TCU doesn't cover. It's like the worst beat. That's about as bad as beat as you can get. And if you had TCU and were given the points, holy crap, what a bad beat. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if that was a win or a loss, but yeah. So those were the conversations I had with those guys, but they're good. They're just good eggs and they try to keep it simple. And that's, yeah. I mean, you and I talked about this once because I was doing a story about analytics. You appreciate analytics, but you don't want to know the science behind it. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you like to see your velo, but more importantly, I mean, for me, VA and your vertical approach, going to the plate. And really right now I've been focusing a lot on extension. Because I think that's one of the key things that I've been missing and not getting down the mound. So extension last night was up and everything else kind of ticked up for me. So just kind of keep grinding and get back to normal, get back to the Owen White and playing baseball and playing hard.
It's not like you've been bad, Owen.
Yeah. That's been pretty bad. Oh. That's pretty bad for me.
Well, that's you hard on yourself is what that is.
It's not. That's not me. I like to leave up in the game and never letting runners cross the plate, and I've been doing that too much lately.
So, you know your medical history and your everything. Do you feel like you are built up to get over 100 innings this year, get in the 120 range? Do you feel like that's attainable for you?
Yeah, I'm doing everything in my power to. I'm trying to throw as many innings as they want me to. I don't think nothing's really going to hold me back this year. I'm going to stay on the medical side of things and keep everything as clean as possible, diet, and just try to do everything by the books and stay healthy. So
you mentioned this earlier. The soreness is not in your elbow. You had the Tommy John surgery a while ago. Kumar Rocker had Tommy John on Monday this week. What would you tell him? Have you talked to him about it or anything like that? What would you tell him about the recovery process?
You know, I had a great group of guys in rehab with me. I had obviously Mason Englert and just me and him clicked and did a lot of things together. Once you get in there, rehab really is not as bad as people think it is. I mean, that's the time that you get to learn the body the most. He's going to come out of rehab bigger, stronger. He's going to look different. And this is probably going to truly change the way he comes out and pitches. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say he's probably going to be 97 to 99 when he gets out.
Wow.
I mean, you do see it. Every guy that comes out of the Rangers rehab process is bigger and stronger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Aaron Zavala, you've probably noticed Aaron Zavala is bigger. Josh Jung was bigger last year. I can't imagine Kumar Rocker getting much bigger.
Well, he's talking about more defined and getting.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, he is a big boy.
We got one of the best rehab. They'll get you back. I mean, it's going to fly by. I mean, he won't believe how quick he'll be back. It's crazy.
All right. Even in Arizona, even with all the monotony, it's going to go by fast. All right. You heard it here first.
Yep. That's right. Owen White said he's going to be
Owen
back.
White, future rehab coach. I like it. So, I'm going to turn it over to John. But since you were last on, I don't think you were engaged the last time you were on. You're now a married man. How's that going, buddy?
It's perfect. We had a perfect wedding. Nothing went too terribly wrong. So I didn't get yelled at. So it was a good day.
Hey man, that's what you do. You show up and say the right name. That's all you got to do. That's the joke right. That's always been. You just show. And when they ask your opinion, you give one. And when they say no, go, okay. That's all you do.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So when we were there a couple of weeks ago, we saw you walking out. Do you live in those apartments right there by the ballpark?
Yes, Omley. Yeah.
Well, that's easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't be late to work unless you wake up late. I mean, you just walk across the street. All right, so listen, we're going to get into more fun stuff. We learned a lot about you last time, where you grew up. You played other sports, all that stuff. We talked about that. All right, we're going to talk about your teammates now. And I got one fun question I can't wait to get to, because you have been the answer for most of these. But we're going to ask you that coming up. Who on the team is the best dressed? When you go look around, who is somebody that you think looks good and is the best dressed on the team?
Jax Biggers.
That's twice for Biggers.
Yeah, it's twice in a row. Yeah.
That's two for Biggers. How about funniest? Anybody on the team that just keeps everybody cracked up?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Dustin Harris.
Really?
That's a sneaky one. How about this for sneaky? Dustin Harris has 17 stolen bases this season.
Yeah, he's faster than people think. He's kind of got that. He's thinned up a little bit as he's gone up. So he kind of runs like a deer.
It's
it's impressive. And he's funny. All right.
You know, something I've noticed, Owen, is that there's not, I'm hearing this from a lot of people, there's not a lot of pranksters. Is there any pranksters on the team?
Man, just the other day in Frisco, I was tying people's shoes up.
So it's you.
There you go.
I'll take the blame on that one.
That's the spirit.
I was tying the shoes up to the fence.
So you're the prankster. All right.
Well, whoever came up with the mustache idea is a pretty good prankster.
Yeah, that one's probably been the best one that they've done so far. Okay, here's the one I'm anxious to do. So I always ask this: if you were in a back alley fight, who is somebody you would want with you? I'm telling you, Owen White has been a name by a lot of them. I think it's probably because you decided one day to punch out a mound. And all of that, but your attitude on the mound too, you are fiery. You get up there and you like to go attack and do that. They said you would probably be, besides you, I know you probably handle it yourself or you think you can. Who's somebody you want with you if you're in a back alley fight? Who do you want with you?
How many do I get?
One.
You got to pick one.
Just one?
Your choice is me or a teammate. You got to pick the teammate.
All right.
You see the back end of Jeff running.
I'm gonna say Alex Spees, just because me and him are always together, and I know he's always got my back. So I'm gonna go with Spees,
and he's got long arms. So he would have the reach advantage, which is always big in boxing.
That's right.
The guy who has the reach,
absolutely.
I like
it. He's a little crazy too. He's got a little.
Hey, he coached teenagers. He might be a little ornery when he gets out there having to deal with them.
He coached 8-year-olds. That would make him more ornery.
Yeah.
So you said, how many do I get? Is there somebody else that's kind of, you would think, you know, he might not be bad either?
Well, I was just planning it out. Like, if I got three people, I would have Strom. Just so he could use his head to headbutt people.
Oh.
We've got a big old head. And then I got probably Chris Cease.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. No doubt. That's a big boy right there.
Yeah.
That's a specimen.
I like Zavala, too. I think Zavala, his dad was a police officer.
Right.
So he probably knows some holds and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's big and he's quiet.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for those quiet guys.
Yeah, those quiet guys usually have something to, they'll whip out something on you. All right, let me ask you this. So anything you're binge watching right now, you and your wife, y'all trying to?
Oh, man, what is Scorpion on Amazon Prime. It's about
what is that?
Like it has four brainiacs trying to solve like the world's problems. If there's emergency, they'll U.S. will call them in, and they go and basically use math and all this other kind of nerdiness stuff to unlock the mission. Basically,
it's way over my
head. He said nerdiness. Absolutely.
I tell you an underutilized word these days is nerd, and Todd Frazier was calling guys nerds the year he was in spring training, and it was beautiful.
Absolutely.
And so I call my kids nerds. And they're smart kids, but if they fart around, instead of calling them a-holes or whatever I'd normally call somebody,
yep,
I call them nerds.
All right. Listen, we're going to get a couple more and get you out of here, buddy, because I know you got a lot. Hey, let me ask you this. On a start day, this is always interesting. You know what? I'm going to end on that one, on a start day. You've been in Down East Hickory. You've now been in Frisco. Of those, is there any stadium that's an away stadium that you've enjoyed where you've got there and gone, man, this is pretty cool. This is a neat little town, whatever. Is there do you have a favorite away stadium you've ever played at?
It's not this one. It's not Arkansas.
No. No.
All right.
I would have to say I really enjoyed Springfield.
Okay.
Springfield, Missouri. Yeah. You're talking about that, right?
Yeah. They had a nice little burger spot on right by our hotel that we could walk to downtown. They had ice cream right through there. And then you could walk to the field. Just everything was on your time. You didn't have to worry about buses. You basically handled everything yourself. That and Corpus Christi. I like being by the water and being able to take those little
that would be cool.
Those little scooters and ride around and just hang out with the boys. It was fun. And then you can go get seafood and stuff too. So I mean, I love crab legs. So
do they have a Whataburger at their ballpark? It is Whataburger ballpark, right?
Yeah.
Corpus Christi?
Yeah.
They have a Whataburger right by our hotel. I don't know if it's close to the ballpark. I mean, it's close to the ballpark because you can ride the scooter there.
I've actually been to the Springfield, Missouri Stadium, and my son will start college there this fall. He's going to be there at Missouri State, and Missouri State plays their baseball games in the minor league stadium.
Missouri State used to be Southwest Missouri State.
Yep, that's right.
Bears, as I recall.
All right, last one. All I want to do is tell me about your game day routine. You're going to start that night. First pitch is 7:05, whatever. What time do you get up? Are you eating breakfast? When do you eat lunch? What do? When do you get to the stadium? Tell me your game day routine.
Yeah, I'll run you through. This is what I did yesterday. So got up about 10:50, got dressed, went and knocked on Alex Spees' door at 11. We went to Waffle House together.
Nice. Me,
Alex Spees, Ryan Garcia, and my wife, we all went to Waffle House. And then we came back at 1:45. I had a pregame meeting. So we kind of went over the hitters. Not really the hitters. Basically what I was going to do. Pitched our strengths. Blah, 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 blah. Then after that, 3 o'clock bus. So got to the field. Kind of rolled out, just kind of hung out and talked for a little bit. Normally don't get going until game last night was at 6:35. It only takes me about 2 hours to really lock in and get ready. So, jumped in the hot tub, kind of get the blood going. Went outside, rolled out, ran a little bit, came back inside, did some, nerve glides and did all my arm stuff and knocked all that out with our trainer, and then went outside and started to get ready to throw. I do plyos, I do some medicine ball stuff, then I long toss, and then I get on the mound and go.
A lot of stuff.
That is a lot of stuff.
So what will you do today? How do you get rid of the soreness? Is today your heavy day in the gym?
Yeah, so I'll lift today when I get to the field, and that's probably it. I mean, I'm not going to really do much, kind of a chill day.
Will you get in the hot tub?
No, I won't get in the hot tub today. I'll jump on some our trainer will do some stuff with me, probably some deep tissue cupping and just try to loosen up everything, the back, and
cool.
Just get everything going. Yeah.
And does your wife go with you on all the trips, or just
this was actually our first trip? And as soon as we got out of the car here, she said she wasn't coming on another one. So we'll figure that one out together, I guess.
Did she drive herself?
Or no, we rode together. We rode with Ricky Benasco and his girl. So we carpooled, and It wasn't too bad. It was just a small car.
Apparently, it was.
Should have drove my truck.
If Mrs. White's not coming back.
You just don't like the car rides.
Oh, there you go.
How far was it? Northwest Arkansas.
So... North Little. It's they're in Little Rock.
What's that, 3 or 4 hours?
That's like six. Yeah. Six?
I think it came out to be about five.
Yeah.
Five, if including stops.
Well, I've never done it without kids, so... Yeah. It's six for us.
That's a long time to ride with Benasco. All right, Owen, anything else?
I think Owen's the funny man.
I think he is too, man. He's the prankster. Yeah, he's tying shoes. We need to give him an idea for a prank. I tell you a prank. Here it is. One of the best ones I ever did. You'll love this, okay? It's the next time you're on a road trip. Now, remember this, okay? Go to Walmart and buy like five little cheap alarm clocks that maybe run on batteries. Okay. Get into somebody's room, maybe Spees or whatever. Set those things to go off about every 3 hours and hide them all in his room. And all night long, an alarm clock's going to go off, and then he's going to find it, turn it off, and then by the second or third one, he's going to be tearing his room apart to make sure he's found every one of them. And it's hysterical. They get up, they get woke up. Now, it does ruin them for the next day if they lose their sleep. Don't do it to a starter. You can't do it to somebody who's about to start that day.
I'll do it when they're all in there taking naps.
Perfect.
Any more for you?
No, we're good.
Oh, and thank you so much, buddy. Thanks for coming on. We'll get you back on again, and obviously we'll see you out at the field when we're out there. Guys, that's Owen White, right-hand pitcher for the Frisco Rough Riders, and this segment was brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. Owen, take care, buddy. We'll see you later.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you, bud. All right, big thanks to Owen White for joining us there. Now it's time to go down in the – by the way, brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. But now we're going down in the bus leagues, and starting next month, this is going to be sponsored by somebody, and we'll get into that later. But got to talk about the minor league teams. Let's go top to bottom. We can go. So let's start out in low A ball. Well, before we get into that, two of those teams no longer belong to the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, the two A teams were sold to Diamond Baseball, which is not the Diamond Sports Group, which has run Bally Sports into the ground. Diamond Baseball has been gobbling up minor league teams. They own a bunch of them.
They own like 19 of them.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. They own a bunch. Basically, the Rangers bought these teams because they wanted to control the player development agreements and everything like that. They thought they had favorable situations.
Right.
And wanted to make sure that their players were taken care of and all that. Well, then MLB came in and basically took over that, is arranging these player development deals. So the Rangers didn't need to own them anymore. And,
right.
You know, a little money in the pocket never hurts. So right. They sold the clubs. It sounds like, unfortunately, the Down East team is going to be moving out of Kinston. Granger Field or Granger Stadium did need some work. It's a little older, but you don't like to see that happen. But, you know, it sounds like.
Yep.
Hickory, Fron Stadium is solid. Hickory's a nice town. You know, I've never heard any complaints about Hickory, so it looks like that'll stay status quo.
One thing that could change is maybe with Diamond Sports, we start to get the MILB and be able to watch some of the games.
Yeah,
If their goal is to do what most hedge funds and businesses are, it's add value and turn around and eventually sell them off or something like that. Then you know, not having those teams on the MILB little app where you can watch those games, I think I mean you got to pay people to also do the play by play and do that stuff, but maybe this will help, and maybe moving to a bigger market. It sounds like, I guess Kinston's a pretty small market.
It is. It's I don't know. It's 45 minutes off the coastline there in North Carolina, and it's not a big town, but I don't know what their attendance is. I've seen some pictures. It looks pretty sparse, but
yeah.
They try to market the hell out of it. You know, the team does a good job. Their Twitter account's good. So, So, there's been some business.
Yep, absolutely. So, that's happened. Let's go to Down East. Down East is the low-A team. This is the youngest ones of all of them, besides those playing in the complex leagues. Down East is 23-17. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They've lost one. Brock Porter still doing good there. He's got good numbers going there. Yason Morabell, when you're hitting, he's pretty much – Yason Morabell looked different when we got spring training.
Yeah.
He's a lot
bigger. He's bigger and stronger. Look, a lot of these guys aren't hitting – that we're going to mention aren't hitting above 250.
Right.
But a lot of them, they're so young.
I know.
But the thing is, you've seen their averages in most cases come up. Morable is one of them. Cueva's been up and down. Anthony Gutierrez right now is a little bit down. Cam Colley's up. Glider Figueroa is up, and he's a guy that when he's good, he impacts the hell out of the ball. So don't worry about those numbers down there. I guess coincidentally,
don't get too high on the pitchers' numbers because the pitchers in those leagues have a chance to really dominate.
Right.
You worry about stuff. You worry about if they're doing the right thing. The Rangers look beyond what stats are available on MLB. They have their own things that they look for. But there are guys doing good work down there, and no need to rush them.
Nope.
You know, maybe Brock Porter gets to taste hickory for like the last 2 weeks of the season. But I think if he just gets his 80 to 100 innings in one spot and learns what it's like to be a professional baseball player and handle the road and all of this stuff, the year will be a success if he just stays at low A the whole year.
Has the DSL started?
No, June 5th. ACL hasn't started either.
I just saw a video of Sebastian Walcott hitting a ball about 400 feet.
Yeah, it's extended spring for them as well. And
Is he still in Arizona?
No. He's in the Dominican.
Okay, he's down there.
Yeah, they've got next Friday or next, I don't know, whatever day the 5th is. It's the first Monday of June is when that season opens.
And ACL opens also?
I'm not sure about that. They're right around that time. Okay. But it's good stuff. It's fun to watch these guys. And
yep.
Walcott's not going to be there long. If he
does what he's doing,
dominates, he'll be in Arizona in July. So. Yeah.
And then if he does really well there and maybe get a taste of down east by the end of the year.
Definitely possible.
He is a good-looking specimen.
Yeah.
Who speaks perfect English.
Right.
And so that helps him too, and that helps because he doesn't have to acclimate to the language when he gets here.
He lived in Florida off and on for a little while there.
So that's going to help him.
I mean, yeah, he knows the food. He knows everything. So it's
and that's where, even though he's 17 years old, that's where he's a little more advanced in the fact that it's not as huge a culture shock for him to get here. He's been here. Yeah. He speaks the language. He's not going to have problems
getting that.
Got to go to Hickory. They're the high A team. They're 15-25, 3-7 in their last 10. They have won one. Guy that we're probably going to get on who's done pretty well is Josh Stevens.
Josh Stevens, we're going to get him on maybe next week. His numbers are just fabulous. 0.78 whip. You know, his ERA is under 3. It's a good story. We kind of touched on it a little bit an episode or two ago. You know, was, you know, 2020, signed as a free agent for $20,000. Yep. So, you know, he's not rolling around in a Lamborghini down there in Hickory. I mean, he
wanted to play pro baseball.
Didn't want to go to college. Yep. That's fine. I didn't want to go to college either. I did. But,
And I didn't.
I mean, it's not for everybody.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
He's a real good story. I know it's 2023 now, and he's still just in high A, but remember 2020, they didn't have a season.
Right.
They were able to take it kind of slow and get him on a development path that they...
Seems to be working.
Yeah, right, right. And, if he had gone to college, I think he was committed to Stephen F. Austin. If he had gone, you never know what's going to happen, you know. They may have said, "Oh, well, why don't you just be a reliever?" You know, the Rangers have had. They've like, all right, we're going to make this guy a starter, and this is how we're going to do it. And it's turning out very well.
Well, look past the World Baseball Classic too, because the Canadian Mitch Bratt has struck out 34 in 21 innings.
Yeah.
28 innings, I'm sorry. But he's also got a 3.49 ERA. ERAs don't make...
Yeah, I mean, he's only got 28 innings.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that happened with him is he got caught in a rain situation where one of his starts was suspended.
Yeah.
And he only got in like 2 innings.
Yeah.
And so he's a little bit behind on innings, and they were trying to catch guys up by maybe pitching them Monday or Tuesday and Sunday, you know, just trying to figure out a way to get their innings back up and get them back on schedule. So it looks like he's still a little bit behind.
The promotions that just came there, Osuna or Ortiz got promoted up.
Yeah, Abby Ortiz, who hit 7 home runs at Down East. He has 3 already at Hickory. He hit 2, I think, Thursday
night.
He's
a first baseman, right?
First baseman, yeah. He's I don't know, not a nice way to say this.
He's older.
He's a little rounder than your typical major league player.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with
him. But he's
not
that round. But he But he did go to junior college in the United States, so he's a little more advanced, and he was hitting 300 at Down East and had the home runs, so it made sense to move him up.
To move him up. And you know who's hitting well is Acosta. He's hitting over 300.
Yeah.
He's got four bombs. Yeah, how old is he? Is he 20?
He was 16 in 2019, so do the math. And he's 20, 21, somewhere in there. But it's big.
He's starting to figure it out.
Yeah, you know, he didn't play in 19, didn't play in 20, was hurt in 21. So he's really, really, if you want to look at it, this is his second season in the minor leagues. And it's starting to show. He'd slumped a little bit, but I think that whole team had slumped, but he's picked it back up. Another name that is interesting, one to watch, is Cody Freeman, the catcher, who he's only hitting 205, but he is now a full-time catcher.
Yeah. Oh, and he wasn't when he was drafted, right?
Yeah, he was an infielder when he was drafted, and last year he was splitting time.
But he's hit like five or six home
runs. Yeah, he's got power. His calves, if you've ever seen his calves, he's not a tall guy, but his calves are about that big. I mean, it's...
So he can just rest on him while he's in the squat. It's like sitting on a chair.
He's got sneaky power, but he wants to catch, and so he is now a full-time catcher, and it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not easy.
No, your body goes through a lot.
When we had Bobby Wilson on, you know, offense is not the priority when you're learning how to catch.
Absolutely.
And so he'll be fine. So I think Cody's an interesting guy to watch, because there's debate about who the Rangers' best catcher in the minor league is after Sam Huff.
Right.
And you know, Ian Muller, who's at Down East, and Freeman are the two who are probably –
yeah,
2 and 3, let's say.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm done with all right. Dickery.
Let's go to Frisco. Lots of good things at Frisco. Well, as far as player wise, their record's only 18-23. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They have lost a couple. You know, we had him on last week. The Rangers are really high on Aaron Zavala.
Very high.
And I'm going to tell you right now, he might be the best hitter in the organization.
It's possible. I mean, he's cooled off a little since we talked to him. He's in 500 now. He's in the low twos, but the total package with the plate discipline, the pitch coverage, the power that's developed, just the intelligence and the focus. I think the Rangers were off during their last homestand, and Donnie Ecker went up and checked in on him, and big fans. He has big fans throughout the organization.
Yes.
And when you have him at the upper level, the major leagues, that can't hurt your future.
No.
But again, he needs to play.
Sure.
He's probably just adjusting. He had a throwing error the other night, so it looks like his arm is good and strong. And he's still working his way back. I mean, he, like. In extended spring training, you can control the games.
Right.
So he would hit, but he wouldn't run the bases.
Right.
But he'd play defense. And then the next day, he would hit and run the bases, but he wouldn't
play
defense. So it's putting everything together. It might take a little time, even though he's mature and all of that. But Aaron's going to be all right.
Yep. You also got, obviously, Jack Leiter, whose last outing wasn't quite as good. He still only gave up a run, but I think he walked like seven.
In four
innings.
That's weird because, you know, like Owen said, he walked five in his start Thursday. Maybe there's something wrong with the mound out there in Midland. But, it's still positive, I think. That was a little step back, I guess. But overall, Jack Leiter's still a positive, at least this month. You know, the last...
Well, I heard someone else talking about it too. When you walk people, now you're coming off the stretch, that's a whole different game when you're trying to get. You know, Jack uses a lot of his body to get that velocity up to where it gets, and when he throws, and going from a stretch as opposed to, you know, coming from the windup where you're a little more controlled in your windup, and you can something like that. I forget how they put it, where he's. You're trying to slow him down a little bit in his delivery, and that was getting the strikes and doing that. But when you're coming from the stretch, it's a little different. You really got to get it all wound up and going and a little more wild. You got we talked about Wyatt Carter, obviously. There, I mean, Zavala and Carter, those are two potential guys that could be in that lineup along with the guys that are there playing two outfield positions eventually. Not to this year, but future. Yeah. Those two right there are MLB lineup people right there.
Sure, they are. And, you know, Tavares is still
– he's hitting
– I can't remember if he's arbitration eligible, I think, this year. Adolis Garcia, you're going to have to figure out if you're going to want to keep him, I think, at this point. You do. Left field appears to be wide open. But the Rangers don't have a lot of holes right now
on
the major league team. And they're not going to for a few years. So you got to figure out ways to use these guys. And they will.
Yeah.
You know, they will.
Some of them will probably be used here in the next month or two.
Yeah.
I don't think those two. They're probably – Carter is essentially untouchable. He's not going to be something for a reliever for sure.
No.
But you got like Acuna and Harris or that may could be a part of a package or – some of these guys.
What do the Rangers need?
Right.
You know, what they need bullpen help.
Right.
All right. You know, that doesn't cost you a lot. Do you really want to bite the bullet and go get a big bat, another big bat? That's when you're going to get into the upper tier of prospects. And, you know,
I think if they get a bat, it would be a rental. I don't think they're, well, I guess they could go out and get a big name that
you never know. And you know, again, and, you know, they have so many prospects on the 40-man.
Yep.
Do you need to trade some of those guys to free up
to clear up some space? Yeah.
Because you're going to have to protect a bunch of guys this next –
some big names.
This next one.
Jack Leiter's one of them, isn't he?
No, but Foskew's one of them.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's – anyway.
All right, let's go to Round Rock.
Okay.
They've got the best record in all of minor league. They're 23-17 in down east, but they've been playing longer. 25-22. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They won one. I mean, if you're going to – Mark Church is now a member. That was an interesting move. This guy, we talked about him earlier in the big league segment that he got promoted to AAA.
Yeah.
That's a sign. I mean, he stayed in the big league camp longer. We talked about that earlier. I'm anxious to see how he does.
Yeah, his first performance, it was scoreless. One and a third innings, two hits and three walks. Now, AAA has the automated ball strike system, the ABS. So I wonder if he's going to struggle with that a little bit.
Because he was getting those calls.
He might have been getting those calls.
He might have been getting that corner or whatever he's getting, and he may not be getting it here.
So that might be something to watch, but...
And that may not be hurting him right now in the fact that they can see, okay, he's got to figure out how this pitch, how this automatic strikes.
And again, they're looking at the stuff, and, you know, if he's throwing the ball to the backstop, that's one thing. But if he's just missing a ball outside or whatever, and it's just off the square or whatever the system is, then they're not going to be too
worried about
that.
And it teaches you how to handle some adversity, get some guys on base and get out of it and see how you work there.
But Chase Lee was the pitcher of the week in the Pacific Coast League, which doesn't happen a lot for a reliever, you'd think, but he had six scoreless innings, which doesn't happen a lot for a reliever in that league. And he tossed a scoreless inning ahead of Church Thursday night. So, again, as we talked about earlier, those are two guys to keep an eye on.
Yep. All right, we got Foskew, who they love there. Wenzel hit a grand slam the other night.
Yeah,
well, he is not.
He's got his average up to .243, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was pretty low, and he has seven home runs. I think he's trending the right way.
Good,
you know. But the important thing with him is that he's been healthy. That's something that has not happened
since
he was drafted.
Yeah,
and so he, that's good. Stay healthy, get your at-bats, figure it out. He had taken some days off a few weeks ago just to work on a swing. It looks like things are slowly moving in the right direction for him. But, yeah, and you know, Albuquerque is at altitude, so the ball travels a little bit further. But still, you have to hit it hard.
You got to put a barrel on it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So
you can't just, you know, chip one out of there. You're going to still have to put some kind of a barrel on it to get it out, but maybe something that might be a pop-up somewhere might carry a little longer, but that still has to be hit hard.
Yeah, the Jankowski and Garver are rehabbing down there.
Yep.
I guess we could have talked about this earlier, but when those two guys are ready, whenever it's going to be, I'm assuming Jankowski will be sooner than Garver, just...
Yeah. I talked to Travis last time we were there, and he was like basically talking to me. He was ready. He's ready to go out on his rehab.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to go out because he thought maybe Frisco But he was talking to either way, but like he was like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go out and start doing it.
Well, so then at that point, I guess it's a Jankowski for Bubba.
Bubba's not been getting used.
Yeah, yeah. And that doesn't help him. And then Garver for Leon, I guess. Although, you know, do you want to lose Sandy Leon? But because I believe he.
Answer me this.
I don't think he has options.
Answer me this. Is eventually Brad Miller not going to be on this team?
Yeah, that's a good. That's another one. You know, I don't know, but
because he's not done anything,
it's hard to carry three catchers.
He's Culberson. He's been sitting on the end of the bench, being a good teammate right now.
Yeah,
but he's not doing anything.
Right.
I don't know. It'll be interesting, guys. That's it.
Yeah, that's all. Just remember to subscribe to this YouTube channel.
Absolutely. Go follow the Dub Network. They are the Dub Network on Twitter. They do have a YouTube channel too. I think some of our videos might be going on there too eventually.
I don't know
how that works. We've got our channel, so you can see them all on our channel, our YouTube channel. Big thanks to the Dub Network, though. The audio version for sure is going through them and iHeartRadio. Which we love that. Go follow them there. It'll still go out to all your favorite platforms, so we're not going anywhere. It's just coming through the Dub Network,
right?
Who we're working with,
and then you know, subscribe to Rangers Today.
$5.99 a month. $60 for the year, $35
for 6 months. It's the cheapest option you got.
Absolutely. So. Congratulations, Ryan, on graduating high school. Congratulations to Henry and Molly. They're out of school for the summer. That's good. Right. But guys, until next week, we'll see you at the yard.